The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood, and I'm the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Well, today we've got the first of three special interviews with Daniela Ramirez. We've already interviewed her a few times because she is in Brazil and there for the COP30. And in fact, this interview and the next two, which we'll play every couple of weeks until almost till Christmas, were recorded the day after COP had finished. And then the first interview is a sort of overview of COP. And Daniela will first of all give us some comments on the fire that broke out there. She wasn't very far from the action. Then she'll talk about the structure of the COP itself, and then the layout of it, and give a sense of the scale of it, and a bit on her own role there. And then also she'll give us a bit of a take on New Zealand being awarded the Fossil of the Day Award. So that's the first interview. And that then in a couple of weeks, we will have one where we're dealing with two or three contentious issues. We will go down the well a bit on the fossil fuel lobby and the impact that that has. We'll also be talking about whether there's a place for nuclear power emerging again in the energy scene. And then also, I was interested to hear what Daniela had to say about geoengineering and carbon dioxide removal. The final interview will be more to do with local cultural things and so on. There will be a bit on the New Zealand delegation, and then a theme around what Daniela termed Aboriginal communities, that is not just Australian Aboriginals, but Indigenous communities or ethnic communities, including some interesting comments about New Zealand Māori community, a bit on local government, something on the various topic themes that emerged during COP30, and then a bit on the selection of the COP31 that's going to happen next year. And I don't think you want to hear any more from me now. I will pass over to the first of the three interviews with Daniela Ramirez. Well, it's a lovely pleasure to welcome back to Climate Matters, Daniela Ramirez. Those of you who've listened before know Daniela's given us the privilege of a few interviews before, and she is still in Brazil. She is just a day out of the end of COP30 and has just told me that some of the plenary sessions are actually still going, even though the full-time whistle is officially blown. So very big welcome, Daniela. Bom dia from Brazil.
Bom dia, Lindsay. Thank you very much for the invite.
Oh, we're so lucky to have you make time available for us. And you have sent me another wonderful list of topics that I hope we can do justice to. I would like to start, before we go into the more serious, well, this is serious, but the more climate-focused topics, do tell us a little bit about the impact of that awful fire in one of the pavilions, because sure, that was appalling, not just on top of everything else.
It was. So we were about to start our meetings with the New Zealand delegation. I was actually running late trying to find the meeting room. And then I saw everyone running towards a place. And it was interesting because they were not running to the exit. They were running towards the fire. So these are media and the guards, and there were no fire alarms. It was for sort of a couple of minutes, a chaos, I would have described. I was with a friend, she's from Brazil, and she managed to understand that people was shouting that was a fire. So we managed to get to the exit point, and it wasn't until like 5 or 10 minutes later when I got a video of the fire that I knew what was happening. I don't think that anyone realized what was happening. Language was a huge barrier. The guards act very fast. They extinguished the fire in it seems that in 5, 6 minutes, but it could have been a lot worse. And that incident, so we had to evacuate all the venue, and that was the end of the day. And that was at 2 p.m. So that was a lot of hours missed of negotiations. And I understand that they had to carry on overnight after the venue was opening again late that day, around 7 or 8. So, and as I mentioned, today, as we speak, they are still in the closing plenary, final. We're supposed to start at 10 a.m. and started with 2 hours delay. So, yeah, an incident that affected a little bit of the discussions, but people were talking about the multi-route concept and everyone checking in each other on each other, checking everything, everyone was all right. So yeah, at the end of the day, it was well managed. Could have been a lot worse, but we were lucky.
Very lucky, and but thank you for that. But now let's go into the more serious, or the stuff that the cop was really about. And in your list you sent me, I want to start with your comment about the talking about the first week being very technical, the second week all ministers. And can you elaborate on that? Because it's very hard from here to get a feeling for what cop is like.
Yes, and this is just to remind you and the listeners, this is my first COP. So I was totally lost for the first week. It's so much going on. So the first week is this is imagine nearly 40,000 people in a same venue, full of pavilions. So each country, there were 194 countries, and not all of them had pavilions, but most of them they had. So many pavilions, a lot of other rooms with side events, meeting rooms with the discussion. So the first 2 days, they discussed the agenda. I was being told that usually in previous COPs, they take like a couple of days or nearly a week to define the agenda, just to agree in what topics they will discuss. And in the COP30 in Belém, that was achieved in 1 day. So everyone thought it's like, this is a great start. We are going to have so much done this COP. So the first week, all the delegation and the technical discussions were done. I attended a couple, and it is like you are going into the discussion of one word. I don't want to put the word reduction. Let's put it eliminate CO2 or greenhouse gas emissions. Or no, I prefer a comma here. I think a full stop will be better. So very technical. Very technical,
Very
and
detailed.
usually very in detail, and usually you get many of these topics happening at the same time, so you have to pick and choose which one you want to follow. And then overnight they produce a document that you go that you see which document they are working on, but then the next day the document has changed, and then the next day
Daniela.
again and again. So it's very overwhelming for someone like me. That was my first COP. I was just trying, and with horrible FOMO feeling, like fear of missing out, because I'm like, there are such a good talks in a couple of pavilions, and then should I go there or should I go and see the discussion? But then the discussion will change anyway. So interesting.
Can I just go back a little bit? When you were
Yes,
talking
please.
about the commas and the words and things, and you said they were going to change it, who is they in that discussion, please?
So these are the delegates of each country. So we were represented by the New Zealand delegate. They were representative from MFE, MPI, lovely people, and they were providing a brief to the New Zealand citizens or representatives that we were there. Very useful, and they were super open, super honest of what was going on and what was the position of New Zealand for whatever the topic was discussed at that time. So yes, and then you have the highly trained delegates from fossil fuel producer countries. They are very well trained. It's impressive how much power and how eloquent and how good they are. They use all the techniques that you can imagine in negotiation. They know the rules. They know that if they don't get to an agreement, they can use another rule. Ah, it's amazing, and it's a war that I would love one day to explore. So,
I mean, I've heard a lot about fossil fuels over several COPs and fossil fuel delegates, and it's not surprising. There's a lot of money behind it, as well as a lot of motivation, isn't there? Your next item, Daniela, maybe you've touched on this already, was that it was very difficult following, I'm reading from your notes, very difficult following the negotiations, documents and updates. Usually documents change overnight. You've mentioned that, and agreements were done and updated in minutes. It was very difficult to follow. So,
yeah, that was my impression. And talking to people that have been in 10 COPs, even for them, it was difficult. They were like, yeah, it's not a straightforward process. So I was feeling a bit better when I was hearing that I was not the only one. And sometimes it's better. Actually, most of the people that attended the COP, they don't follow negotiations, funnily enough. They are just there for the networking or because they think it's very interesting to see what projects or initiatives or the countries have or NGOs or they go because they know that the negotiations will start with one thing and they will finish probably totally different. So for me, it was just good to understand how it is done. But definitely I thought that the best knowledge for me to get was the information that was shared in the pavilions of regardless of what was agreed in meeting rooms, the initiatives presented by countries and by NGOs or by other organizations were far more interesting for me, in my opinion.
Oh, interesting. I imagine also it's very different being, if you like, a private attendee like you were, as against someone who was there for the New Zealand government, where I imagine they have a whole team setting out all the details. You'll be
That's
here,
right.
you'll be doing that. Whereas you've got to sort of engage with the
An
whole thing
overview.
Rather than have it channeled for you.
Yeah, and that's super interesting because in one of the New Zealand briefing, they were asking us, so guys, tell us, what are you seeing out there? We have been close in in meeting rooms
That's
all
interesting.
day. So I thought, yeah, for sure. It's a very intense work for them. Usually, I couldn't believe that the negotiation went overnight and they don't have the time to just go and see around what is being offered. And there were, I don't know, countries that were providing, like Australia was providing free coffee. India was providing, I don't know, sweets. Turkey was providing sweets. And each country, they have like different things, like very cool. China was providing all the little goodies that they do. So the New Zealand delegation didn't see any of that. So, yeah.
You talked a bit about how the COP was structured. And you said with countries, pavilions, the UN community organizations and things, and rooms for negotiations. You've touched on that in different ways. Is there a big picture of the layout that you want to give to us? And can I just, by way of introduction to that, I think one of the biggest events I ever went to was a big International Symposium in Berlin, what they call the Messe Center. And I wound up taking a map of the Messe Center and imposing it on Nelson, and it covered the entire CBD of Nelson, this one exhibition center. And I thought, oh, I wonder if COP's anything like that or if it's nothing like that. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, that's a good way to, that's a good analogy. Just to try to put an image or a picture for the listeners is you could walk for half an hour from one corner to another one. And I'm not even talking about the green zone. So just the blue zone, which is where you needed to get accreditation to enter. Just the blue zone, it took me a week to get around and see what was offered.
Amazing,
there.
Isn't it? Mm.
And then I went to the green zone that was totally different vibe because it was more local. In the green zone, you don't need accreditation. So that's where kids from schools were. It was one public holiday during the COP. So that was the busiest day ever. Everyone took, it was like a family trip of the day, which I found it fantastic. And Brazilians, they love the music. So they were like throwing a show with musical bands. And then at the same time, they were talking about sustainability and electric buses. And it was fantastic, the engagement of the locals. And in the city itself, so this is very interesting. So after all the events happen around, they started around 8, finish around 6. And then outside the COP venue, you had organizations like renting restaurants or community centers to provide more events after hours. So that was like a non-stop. You could go like until 1 a.m. full of events if you want to.
Started at 8 o'clock the next morning.
Exactly. It's like, whoa, it was so intense. And everyone seems to cope so well. We went to a place after the COP. It was around 9 p.m. It was full of people. It was a lovely documentary about oceans. But then in the next door, the museum had an exhibition around all the topic. And in front, it was a restaurant with a consultant that they wanted to create some networking event. On Friday of the first week, there were 90 events happening in the city at the same time, after hours.
This sounds almost a ridiculous jump in thinking, but did you at any stage think, oh, here's something that Nelson could do? I don't mean the whole COP, but I mean, did you ever think, oh, there's a place here that Nelson could do good stuff?
I have a full book of ideas that I'm bringing back home, Nancy.
Wonderful. I look forward to a discussion with you when you're back here. Oh, that's great. Terrific. And can I ask, Daniela, did you have an actual role in any of these processes, or were you there essentially as an observer?
I was, the classification that I had in my credential was party overflow. So that was the other thing, that sometimes you are not allowed to meetings because you need to be part of the delegation, which is fair enough.
Right.
And there was a strict rules of that. I, even though I'm from New Zealand, I cannot represent New Zealand in any statement. Mm. Fair enough.
Understood.
So and media had also different passes. They were allowed to go to different sites. But our delegation was pretty small compared with others' delegations. And that was interesting. Like Australia brought a lot of people mainly because they were trying to get to be the host
next
country
COP.
Which unfortunately they couldn't.
How interesting, Daniela. Well, picking on New Zealand for a moment, I do want to go a little bit into New Zealand being awarded the Fossil of the Day award
I
doesn't altogether
know, I
surprise
know.
me. But what's hard from this distance is to get a feeling for what significance that has. Is it just a sort of bit of a frivolous sideshow, or does it really carry some weight in the opinions of people at COP? Did you get a feel for that?
I did. So it happened every day of the COP at 6 p.m. They gather in the corridors of the COP, and the day that I was just happened to be the same day that I was like, oh, it's six, I will just watch who got the prize today. And then when they say New Zealand, I was like, oh my God. And then they were like, who wants to receive the prize? And I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Oh, you had a
and
moment
then someone,
of notoriety.
because they wanted to hand over the prize, which is a dinosaur, just representing the Fossil of the Day prize. Yeah, it was interesting. And what was interesting is to get the reaction of everyone else and the attendees, thinking it's like, oh, really? We thought that New Zealand was very cool and very clean. So it just helped with the perception that all the other countries have about New Zealand. I don't think it matter for the delegation. Is they probably, yeah, it didn't change any of the ideas or the mandate that they had from the minister. But what I thought it was important is that they were very clear that it was for the weakening of the methane target, and they mentioned that that was cut just to 40%, and before that was 24% for the methane. So to express or to convey that information to all the attendees from countries that had no idea, I think it definitely had an impact. It was funny and embarrassing and interesting at the same time.
I'm a bit of me disappointed that you didn't go up to receive it on behalf of New Zealand.
No, because all the attendees were like, boo. No, I was not going to get that.
I totally understand that. Well, what a nice note to finish that interview with Daniela on. I don't know where she finds all her energy, but she brings a lovely vitality to what she does and what she says, doesn't she? Now, just to recap, we'll have the next interview with Daniela in a couple of weeks. We're rejigging our schedules a fair bit, I can't guarantee this, but I think the next one will be on the 8th of December, and then the subsequent third one on the 22nd of December, with other ones in between. In fact, in between, we've got other interviews with a youth council group, Lighthouse Aotearoa, on the 1st and the 15th of December. So what a lot of interesting things we've got coming up. Well, thank you so much for your company. I do hope you've enjoyed it and got something out of this episode. I hope I have it again next week. Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and of other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz. And, of course, kia kaha for the climate.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.